Hey, good luck, everybody. Always, it's supposed to be together, to learn, to grow. Right after Shabbos Kodesh, no better way to start the week. Just wanted to thank Julie always for taking care of all the details, for getting out the word. Shabbos Kodesh, it's only Simcha and Bracha for you, for your beautiful mishpacha. Always go for a beautiful night to learn Torah as well. Tonight's the 17th night of the Omer. In 17, we know it's the Matra Tov. The Chazal tell us, Ein Tov el Torah. Ki lekach Tov nasati lechem Torasi al tazovu Tov. That which is good in this world is Torah. Because everything that's connected to Torah is good. And therefore, what a beautiful night on the 17th night of the Omer, the night of Tov, to learn Torah, to connect to Torah, to grow through Torah, for each and every one of us, Be'ez Hashem. There was a Jewish American soldier that during World War II that had the schus of being part of liberation, which obviously was very difficult emotionally, but something very, very special to have a part in helping the Yeshua of those Yidden that survived those difficult, difficult years. And this soldier, he was liberating one of the concentration camps. It was heart-wrenching. This particular camp, there were many children. And the children were mere bones of human beings. And Baruch Hashem, they had a medic with them, because we know, and I'm sure we've all read and understand, that unfortunately sometimes when there was liberation, so the initial impulse is to go and give whatever food you have to the survivors. You want to help them. A lot of soldiers just gave tons of food, but the bodies of those Yidden weren't ready for that food. They were so malnourished for years, and that also is very, very dangerous to eat too much too quickly. So Baruch Hashem, they had a medic with them. The medic said immediately, like, don't give anything to them. We have to feed them slowly. And they cooked up a few pots of soup so they could slowly have some soup to gain a little bit of nourishment and bring them back to health. And they didn't have bowls, they didn't have anything. They were literally filling their helmets with soup to be able to give these children a little bit to eat, something, a little nourishment. And the children were lined up to eat. So thankful to these American soldiers. And this one American soldier, this Yid, he sees on the floor moving. It looked like he thought it was just a pile of rags, but he saw some movement. And he realized it's a little child. And this little child was so weak, so malnourished, that it didn't have even the strength to get up, to be in line, to eat. This child wasn't going to make it. This child had no ability. He was too physically ill at that point. But his heart went out to this child. And he thought to himself, what could he do for this child? So he picks up the child. And he just hugs this child. And holds the child. And wants this child just to feel what it is to be hugged again. To be embraced. To be loved. At least that the child could leave this world with. And he's holding this child. He's hugging this child. And suddenly, all these children that were online, waiting to have a little bit of food, a little bit of nourishment for their body, they noticed this Yid, this soldier, hugging this child, and they all left that line for food and started lining up for a hug. Because they so yearned for some love, for an embrace, for some, no one's given them a hug in years. Sometimes all we want is a hug. An embrace, to feel loved. Feels like a very long time ago, but it's only about 2.5 weeks. We just finished Pesach. And Pesach is this beautiful yantiv, this incredible yantiv, where we feel the hug of the Rabbeinu Shalom. When every moment of Pesach, everything we learn about, everything we go through, Lel Seder, we see all the spectacular miracles and all that Hashem does for us, even when we're on the lowest of levels, Hashem loves us. Hashem is constantly hugging us. It might not be physical. It might be we have to open up our hearts and open up our eyes a little bit wider. But Hashem's embracing us, and hopefully we felt that. We felt that love. We felt that love over the Yom Kippur Pesach. But once we feel that love, once you know how much Hashem loves you, it builds a responsibility, charges us, it's incumbent upon us to show that love back. And that's why immediately following Pesach, we enter into these very holy days of Yimei Svira. Mamish, on Pesach itself already, it's interesting. You could question why that is. You know, it's amazing, right? If you remember, many families, the minhag is at the Seder itself, at the second Seder, we already counted, started counting Sviras Omer. We're in the middle of Pesach. What is Sviras Omer? Primarily, most explain that anticipation, that excitement towards Kabbalah Zatorah, which is the Yom Tov Shavuos, Abba Aleinu, in about a little over a month from now. We just started Pesach. We're one day into Pesach. And we're already counting Sviras Omer. We're already immediately... Now, the Chinuch explains that we don't count on the first night because we want to give one night fully towards Pesach. But couldn't we have waited until the end of Pesach? Can we give the entire Pesach its entirety to celebrate, to enjoy before we start counting towards Shavuos? So we have to understand this counting that we're in the middle of, that we're already up to the 17th day of Sviras Omer. It's not merely just that anticipation and that excitement. If that's all that it was, seemingly that should wait until the end of Pesach. Enjoy Pesach first. But it's more than that. It's a very, very special time of growth. A very special time to work on ourselves. A very special time in the year to lift ourselves up. But we've all learned at some point, I'm sure, that Klal Yisrael was on the 49th level of Tumah by Pesach. Klal Yisrael was the lowest of low. And they were not roi, they were not fit to receive the Torah. It wasn't just the excitement towards Torah that we needed these 49 days to build. It was much more than we would have received the Torah immediately. But we weren't fit. We needed 49 days to grow. 49 days to work on ourselves. 49 days to lift ourselves out of that place of that darkness of Mitzrayim. Halalu of the Vodazarva, halalu of the Zorah. They were walking like the Egyptians. And therefore, these are days of growth. You know, it's so funny. Often, I'm sure some of you, still, you know, definitely when we're younger, it's always a discussion. You know, are you still counting with the bracha? Are you not counting with the bracha? Are you still in? I'm going to make it this year, all 49 days. Now, Baruch Hashem, you know, with all the different statuses and texts and chats, and it's hard to forget. But Friday night, you have to set some sort of reminder. That's like the biggest night that people get out is, right? It's Friday night. A little Shabbos Kodesh. But anyways, especially if you make early Shabbos, and at that point, even if you're davening, you're not allowed to count yet. But it's so funny, we're so set, and we're so fixated on the counting itself, and the counting's important, it's a mitzvah, and we should count. And even if we're not counting with a bracha anymore, to count without a bracha is a mitzvah as well. It's a big machlokas. The whole reason if we miss a day we don't say a bracha any longer is because we're choshing that perhaps those who hold it's one big mitzvah, so you haven't been mekayim that one big mitzvah because you missed a day, right? But many hold it's 49 separate mitzvahs. If you missed a day, so you still continue to count without a bracha. That's not even a question. But more important, I believe, than am I counting, am I not counting, am I growing? If the whole purpose of these days, all of Sviras Omer was only there because we were on the 49th level of Tumah, we needed days to grow. So our the counting is there to trigger our growth, to remind us that I need to be growing. Are we growing? Have I worked on myself? Am I a different person today than I was 17 days ago? Maybe that's why we start right away. We left Mitzrayim, immediately we have to be growing. It's like, yeah, we're still celebrating Pesach, we're enjoying Pesach, we're feeling that embrace, that hug of love from Hashem, which should trigger our growth. So already on night two, it's not about necessarily just the anticipation and excitement towards Shavuos. It's reminding me to grow, to work on myself. Am I growing? Am I working on myself? Am I being machazik myself in all whatever way that might be? You know, we're only a couple weeks away from the Halig Yontif Lag BaOmer. The Yontif Lag BaOmer is very connected. And all these days, not just Lag BaOmer, all are super connected to Rabbi Akiva. As we know, we're also simultaneously in the Avelis of Rabbi Akiva losing 24,000 Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva has very famous words at the very end of Masechta Zuma. The last Mishnah of Masechta Zuma are very famous words of Rabbi Akiva. And probably all of you know these words because it's not just a Mishnah, it's also been turned into a song, a beautiful song. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. Praiseworthy are Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem etar, mi etar eschem, avichem sheshemayim. Lifnei mi atem etar, in front of who do you purify yourself? Umi etar eschem, and who purifies you? Avichem sheshemayim, your Father in Heaven. Specifically, Rabbi Akiva, these days, it's a time of tahara, time of purity. If you dive into tefillos after Tzviras Omer, we say that the Tzvira should be a time ketelet, L'tareinu miklupusenu, umitumusenu, to purify ourselves. But it's a very strange lashon. It seems very redundant. Lifnei mi atem etar, in front of who are you purified? Umi etar eschem, and who purifies you? Avichem shem shemayim. It's superfluous, right? Could have said lifnei mi atem etar, in front of who are you purified? Avichem shem shemayim, your Father in Heaven. Or umi etar eschem, who purifies you? Avichem. It doesn't have to say both ways. Says the same thing twice. It sounds a little poetic. Maybe eventually we're going to turn this into a song. So the Halakha Nesiyos Shalom says something very beautiful. It says something so beautiful on this Mishnah. As we know, as we said, these days are very connected to Rabbi Akiva, so this Mishnah is very connected to Rabbi Akiva. Mi, Mem Yud, it's very simple gematria, it's 50, right? What's Lifnei Mi? Before me, before 50, 49. So you know what Rabbi Akiva is teaching us? Lifnei mi, before the 50th day, the 49 days of Sfiris Omer, atem mitarim. You have to purify yourself. You have to work on yourself. You have to grow. Lift yourself out of that dark place that you left Mitzrayim. And then umi, when you get to the 50th, when you get to Shavuos, mitar eschem avichem b'shem shemayim. Hashem in Heaven is going to purify you in the most beautiful ways. If we do our part, habol etar misayin oso. If we do our part, Hashem will do the rest. But lifnei mi atem etar. These are days of growth, days to work on ourselves, days to become more for each and every one of us. And then umi etar eschem avichem b'shemayim. Hashem will purify us in beautiful ways. But in what way specifically? What is our avoda during these Yomei Sfira? Obviously, for each and every one of us, but Prat, we could choose any area of Hashem. There's no question. You want to work on your tefillah, work on your tefillah. You want to work on your midos, you want to work on tznius, you want to work on learning, you want to work on a particular midah. Of course. But I think there's one general idea that I think is alluded to in the parashas that we just read today. The Babish Rebbe always teach us we have to live with the parasha. And there's something very, very interesting that's deeply connected to Shavuos that we read this morning in the parashas. We read about the Mitzora, right? Tazria, Mitzora. Batzamana Tzaras. And that individual Tzaras, after finishing Tzaras, has to bring a karbon. And we do something incredible to that karbon. The Pasuk says, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Yudbeis, the Hainif Osam Tnufal of Hashem. We take the carbon, we take the animal, a keves, a lamb, and we wave it up in the air. We wave the carbon. We don't just shech the carbon and burn the carbon as we do po'al carbonos, we wave the carbon. Now the truth is, if you learn through Chumash, we find often by various carbonos, waving the carbon. By a shlamin, by the carbon of a nazir, by a todah, There's only one other time that we wave the entire karban. By the way, the karban represents the individual. The Ramban and others talks about what it is to bring a karban is a symbolism that we're sacrificing ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If it's lo aleinu because we did a sin, a karban chat, it's karban ashram, we know we deserve to go through sacrifice, because here's the nefesh, we're trying to get closer to Hashem, whatever it might be. The karban represents an individual, and therefore waving that karban is waving that individual. And we find this by a karban of a mitzora, and we find it by the karban of shavuos. By the karban of shavuos as well, in Parshas Emor, a few parshas away, in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf, Vehenif HaKoyin Oysam, you bring the Shnei Kvasim to Lamb, Vehenif HaKoyin Oysam. The Kohen waves them. What is this waving? What is this taking? That sounds very, very, you can imagine the imagery of this. No, we're not Zoyche yet to Beis HaMikdash, but man, I have this chus to be a Kohen. Imagine taking a lamb and just waving it over my head. I mean, what does that represent? What is that all about? What's going on? On one level, first of all, we have to understand this whole process of svira. This whole process of svira is a process of growth. And in a certain sense, Svarim point out, it's a process of growth from living an animalistic, impulsive, physical life to being a proper human being. If we read in Parshas Emor about Tvir Somer, the parasha links to karbanos, the karban omer. That's when we start counting, and we end by the karban shteilas and shavuos. And many mafarshim point out, I've seen this brought down in many, many svarim, the omer was barley. And barley is animal food. Barley was fed to the animals. The karban of shavuos was shteilas, was loaves of bread. Served to humans, eaten by humans, by Adam, a man. And that's the whole avod, is to lift ourselves up from being an animalistic individual, giving in to our impulses, our temptations, a physical life, an animal, and reaching a level of Adam. But I think it's so much more than that. I think the growth we could do during Sefira is not just from a behemoth, an Adam, but even above that. And I believe this is the avod of Yemei Svira, more than anything else. I once shared a story. There was in the early 1900s, late 1940s, early 1950s in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, most of the Yidden that were living there were very, very impoverished. We're very, very poor. And one day, a yid walked into his shul where he davened, and he put up a sign that tomorrow he's going to be making a big siyum, and he's going to have shefa of food, like incredible food, basar, v'dagim, v'rov, matanim, everything you can imagine. And he was a poor man. Nobody understood how he's making this big siyum, what's going on. Where is he getting the money for this? What's it all about? And they assumed he must be making like a big siyum hashas. Finish all shas, shas bavli, shas yushalmi, call out Torah to make such a big siyum. Someone went over, one of his friends, they asked him, you're making this big siyum. What are you finishing? He didn't put it on the sheet. He just said everyone's invited. I'm actually finishing Masechtas Moed Katan. I'm assuming the Chevra here doesn't learn Shas, so I'll just tell you, Moed Katan is one of the smallest Masechtas in Shas. One of the smaller Masechtas. Every Masechtas is full of Amkus, full of depth, full of Chachma, full of wisdom. Torah is Hashem Tamima. Torah is so precious. Every Masechta, every page. And that also is a big accomplishment. To finish Masechtas Moed Katan, it's a big accomplishment. It's worth making a siyum. There's a value in celebrating. But such a big, lavish siyum from such poor people In a small little mesechta, you can finish it if you do a blot a day like Rav Yomi. Within the month, you finish Moed Katan, less than that. Making such a big siyum. So the man asks him, really, to what's pshat? Why such a big siyum? He says, I'm going to explain tomorrow, the siyum come. This man was a survivor, Kadosh Dikiyev. And he gets up, the whole entire neighborhood, everyone was so excited. He had such a delicious meal. They haven't had a suda like this, even at the biggest chasanas in those days. So they all come. And he gets up and he says, I want to explain this siyum that I'm making. He was a survivor, Kadosh Dikiyev. And he says, I was in a concentration camp, I don't remember which one it was. And there was a yid in the concentration camp. And this yid, everybody thought he lost it completely mentally. Which happened, and you couldn't blame people. People lost their entire existence, lost their entire families, were tortured daily. And they thought he was completely off. Why? Because all day, he'd walk around just murmuring to himself. Like speaking to himself, mumbling to himself. It was very strange, they thought, and he used to be a very normal individual, and all day he's mumbling, all day he's murmuring to himself. So they thought he must have gone off, he lost it. One night, he said, this man, he slept right on top of me, in the barracks. You know those barracks were, mamish. I've never seen with my own eyes. You know, you read the stories and hear the stories. You see how it was. It's wooden slabs, and they'd throw six yid in with his room for maybe three to sleep normally. Shem Yirachim. And this yid was speaking, said, you know what, we'd go to sleep at night. It was a favorite time of the day. Because when we would be sleeping, at least we could completely forget the Gehenna that we're in the middle of. We could dream a little bit and have some peace and have some quiet. And not be working backbreaking labor and not fear for our life for those moments. There's nothing more precious than sleep. And one night I'm sleeping, and this yid that we all thought was out of his mind, that was mentally ill, was mumbling all day, starts shaking me and waking me up. I think he's out of his mind. You would never shake a sleeping man in the concentration camp. It was the most important thing. We talk about like Gezel Shena, waking somebody up, how this is like on steroids. You don't do that. It's so precious. And I look at him and says, what? What do you want? And he looks at me, he says, you know, I know everybody thinks I'm crazy. Everyone thinks I've lost it. But I want to tell you why I'm mumbling all day. You know why I'm mumbling all day? Because before all this has started, I already saw the writing on the wall. When I saw what was happening, and I saw that there might come a time when I'm not going to have my holy svarim, my holy books, and not going to be able to be in a Beis Medrash, and not going to be able to have my Rebbe and my Chavrusas, but I knew how important Kiyem Chayenu V'Rechimenu Torah is. To be without Torah, I couldn't be. So for a long time, every single day, I took one mesechta. It was a small mesechta, Moed Katan, and I learned it over and over and over, every page over, until I knew the whole mesechta by heart. So that wherever I am, you can't take that away from me. You can't take my chias, my life, my Torah, the Heilige Torah, l'lesarascha shashuya avati vani. You know what I do here all day? Whatever is going on, whatever work I'm doing, when I'm walking, I have this tchus, I'm learning Torah all day. And people don't know, I don't want anyone to know. When I'm mumbling, they think I'm crazy, I'm learning Torah all day. Mesechta's my katan. And I finished it over and over and over. And he looks at this man who's sleeping, who he woke up. I feel very weak tonight. I've been more and more, I've been weaker and weaker every day. I don't think I'm going to live much longer. I feel that my time is coming. And I want you to know right now, I'm in the middle of my katan again. I'm up to daf tes. So I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm waking you up just so you could please. This was my deepest connection to Hashem, learning my katan over and over. This is what I did for Him, even in these Gehenim al-Aretz. If I don't wake up tomorrow morning, if I don't make it, could you continue, please, this last time from Tess and finish the Masechta for me, in my behalf, in my Zchus, Lila Nishmas. And I believe you're, he said, he looked at him, he said, I know you, you're strong, you're healthy, you're well, you're going to survive. So when this is all over, finish the Masechta for me. And make a Siyam on behalf. I've never been able to make a Siyam. This man is talking in Yerushalayim in the late 1940s, early 1950s, whatever it was exactly. And he says, this is this Masechta that I finished for that Yid, that Tzaddik. And that's why, how could I not make sure to make such a lavish Siyam on his behalf? You know, he said before that the Zman of Sfiras HaOmer, many tzaddikim point out, is the Zman of growth, and the Zman of growth from the level of a behemoth to a level of Adam. Starting from the Sa'irim, the barley, the carbon Omer, to the carbon Shtelech. I think it's much more than that. This Yid in the Holocaust, this Yid learning Maseches Ma'akatim all day long, he wasn't just a human being. He was above this world. He's l'malam min ha'olam. He was above this world. He was living in a hecher evelt, in a higher world. It's not normal. It's not normal. He was above the world. You're being tortured all day by Nazis. You've lost your whole existence, all of your family, no physical possessions, malnourished, and learning Torah all day long. You're living above this world. And that's what a Yid is able to live. A Yid is able to live not just a person. Forget about, I'm not an animal. I'm above that. I'm above a person. I'm a malam in oilam. I'm living a hecher evelt. I'm living a higher realm. Completely transcending this world. Completely transcending this world. That's the avoid of every Yid. To not just be a person, be above this world. Harav Avigdor Nevinzel Shlita, the Heilige Rav of the Old City, Tzadik Yisoid Oilam, had the schus to have a kesher with, a walking malach of Nevinzel. How many times I've watched from Nevinzel walking through the streets of the Old City with his head in his gemara, just walking through the streets and looking into the Gemara, learning, not wanting to waste one moment. And the Talmud once saw Rav Nevinzel, this Talmud was waking up early in the morning to daven eitz, and he saw Rav Nevinzel walking through the streets of the Old City. Also, this was before davening, early in the morning, still dark outside. And Rav Nevinzel's walking through the streets of the Old City, holding his shoes. And the Talmud asked him, Rebbe, why is Rebbe holding his shoes? He was walking in socks through the Old City, holding his shoes. He says, oh, these shoes, they're loud when you walk. You hear them. You hear the heel on the stones of the Old City floor. It's very, very early in the morning. I don't want to wake anybody up, that they should hear me. So he's holding his shoes. He has such a tzaddik. So Rav Nevinzel says so beautifully in the Sefer HaChumash, you know what the waving of the carbon of the Metzora was? Metzora was someone who fell to a low level, similar to us falling to a low level in Mitzrayim. And when you fall to a low level, you could be misyayish, you could have despair. Who could I become? What am I going to become? We take the carbon of the Metzora and we lift it over our head and we wave it and say, you will and you have and you're going to reach a level, not just you're going to grow out of this. You're a Yid, you could be above this world. We're waving the carbon saying, you're above this world. And that's the same carbon of Shavuos. The only other time we wave the carbon in the air, the entire carbon. It's a Hecher Evelt, you're above the world. We have to believe that we can reach such levels. Lifnei mi atimitar. Before Shavuos, before the 50 days, we could work on ourselves and we could grow. Umi mitaras samavim mishmashmayim. Hashem purifies us to such a level. I'm above this world. I'm above this world. I'm Yisrael. I'm not just an Adam. I'm Yisrael. The Kuzari brings down the different levels of existence in this world. In the Kuzari, Yehuda Levi says, there's first a domain. A domain is silent, right? An inanimate object. Something that we call dead, or not alive, a rock. Even though if we understand deeply, based on the Tanya and others, everything has some level of chiyus to it. It wouldn't exist if it doesn't have some level of life. Just a re-understanding of what life is. But a domain is silent, an inanimate object. It can't grow, it is. And then there's a higher level of existence, a tzoymeach. The second level of existence is tzoymeach. Tzoymeach is something that flowers, that grows, plants, trees, bushes, grass. It doesn't communicate. It's not a high level of existence, but there's something that's alive there, much more so than a domain. It's growing. It has a little bit more of a chiyus to it, right? Tzoymeach. Right, we can still, by the way, at the beginning of Nisan, we start making a bracha on a tree. You can still make that bracha. If you see a tree, if you haven't yet, that bracha on a blossoming fruit tree, you can make it as long as you see a tree and blossom until the fruits grow. You're allowed to make that, even an ear as well. So that's tzoymeach. Higher than that is a behema. Higher than a tzoymeach is a behema, an animal. An animal already has a higher level of life than a tzoymeach. An animal has a higher level of existence. In all different ways. And higher than Behemoth, which one would think would be the highest level, is Adam. And Adam is referred to as a medaber, someone who communicates, someone who speaks above a Behemoth. And we think that's it, those are the existences in the world. Doimim Tzameach, Behemoth, Adam. The Kuzari explains this something even higher than Adam. And higher than Adam is called Yisrael. We're B'nai Yisrael. We're above. We're not just a normal human being. We're living above. This is that Yid who was walking through the concentration camps, learning Maikata nonstop. He was above this world. He was Yisrael. That wasn't just an Adam. That wasn't just an Adam. He has such a beautiful Lashon there when he's talking and trying to prove his point. We know the whole give and take of the Kuzari. He says, "V'imate Adam, could you find a man sheyavo be'esh v'lo yuzakvo, that's going to go into fire and not be damaged?" A reference to Avraham Avinu, obviously. Are you going to find a man v'yamod mibli machav lo yirav? You going to find a man that could live in existence without eating or drinking, without eating or being satiated, and v'lo yirav and not starve? A reference to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was up in Shemayim 40 days and 40 nights. V'yiel the fun of Zohar, and his face will shine. Shaina ayin yichol estakabel, that a person can't even look at it. Also a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Do you find Adam like that? We don't have Adam like that. Meaning we're above it. We're Yisrael, and those examples of tzaddikim and Hashem Zekanios that we know of, we're all part of that. When you talk about, we gave a few stories tonight of a survivor who lived through that Gehenna Mal Aretz and rebuilt with perseverance, with emunah, that's above this world. That's a Yisrael. And that's our growth. Our growth is to understand I'm above this world. Not to be bound by this world. Not to be bound by the physicality of this world, by the materialism of this world, by the temptations of this world. Not just living like another human being, like the Umos Olam. I'm above the Umos Olam. I'm above it. I'm a Yisrael. And be proud to say it. Geschmack to be a Yid. I'm above it. We're not racist. We don't look down upon others. Chas v'shalom. And we could have relationships with the Umas Olam. And they're very beautiful, wonderful members of the Umas Olam. Do wonderful acts of chesed and wonderful things. But I'm Yisrael. I'm the Am Nivchar. And I have to hold myself to that. Not lower myself to the standards of society because culture tells me to be a certain type of individual. Now I'm Yisrael, I'm above that. And Sfira is, I've lifted myself out of Mitzrayim to be a Yisrael, to be above it. The other day, the Eibishter brought me, when I was learning this Torah, the Eibishter brought me an incredible matana. I mean, some matanos, some ramazim are just kodesh kedoshim. It's like, it's no doubt min hashamayim, and it meant to be this way. It's, I don't know, because it was also, you know, you think sometimes with gematria, you sit there, it was 10 seconds, it was the first two words that I thought of, it was exact, and it's emesh mamito. Rav Nevenzel saying the whole avodah of this tenufa of waving is to show that we're above this world, right? That we can reach that level from that I fell down to the level of Mitzorah. Even though I fell in Mitzrayim to 49th level of Tumah, that's the carbon of Shavuos, that's the carbon of Mitzorah, saying I can be above this world. I'm going to Yisrael. I'm going to hold myself to that. Tenufa is exactly Gematria 541, exactly Gematria Yisrael. Tenufa is exactly Gematria Yisrael. Can't make this stuff up. Abish just tired. That's each and every one of us, to live above it. To live that life. And that's what these days of Sfira are for. To remind me of that. To lift myself up. Day until I'm lifting myself up every day. I'm counting up my growth till I'm above this world. I'm Yisrael. And right after Pesach, the first parsha that we learned, that we read, Shmini, this year immediately after Pesach, right? We ended Pesach Thursday night here in Chutzart, went right into Erev Shabbos Chodesh, right into Parsha Shmini. And it's incredible, the very end of Parsha Shmini, it talks about the halachos of kashrus. And the pasuk says, after talking about not eating a sheretz, not eating these creepy crawlers, right away he talks about leaving Mitzrayim. Kani Hashem hamal eschem eretz Yisrayim, lios lechem lelukim. I'm Hashem that lifted you out of Mitzrayim to that I should be for you as a God. Be some kedoshim, you should be holy. Kadosh ani, be holy above this world. It's very interesting, this pasuk. The pasuk says, Ani Hashem hamala eschem eretz Yisrayim. Throughout the whole Torah, constantly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me that he took us out of Mitzrayim, right? We have the first of the Aseret Dibros, all the Muna. Anoichi Hashem lekecha, asher hoitzeisichem eretz Yisrayim. It's always that lashon of hotseisi. I took you out. Here, the parash we read right after you see the tribe, the parash we read at the beginning of Sirus Omer, is hamala eschem. Why is it a lashon of hamala? I lifted you up, as opposed to just took you out. It's a strange lashon. And Rashi there immediately picks up on this. And he says, Ani Hashem hamala eschem. He asked the question. It always says Votzesi, and here it says Hamala. Tanya Devei Rabbi Shmuel, how's Rabbi Shmuel learns? Yomalei lo halis Yisrael mimitzrayim. If I did not lift you up, rise you up out of Mitzrayim, Ela b'shvil she'ein mitamim b'shratzim kishar umos. So that you're not mitamim yourself with these insects like other nations. Dayam, it would have been enough to get him at Mitzrayim. Umal yuso hilagaveu v'delashem mala. Mala is to lift you up. I'm lifting you up above the other nations. By saying, eat kosher and don't eat what they eat, basically. The mala is a language of lifting up. And how are we lifting up, is Rashi saying? That we shouldn't be kishar umos. Shar umos is adam, people that are doing nice things. So, but I'm above it. I'm Yisrael. I'm Ma'al Eschem. I'm Kadosh. I'm holy. I'm holy. And that's the avodah of these days, the avodah of Sfira. To grow, to lift ourselves. To live a Hecher of Elt. I'm transcending this world. I'm above this world. You know, the first Seder night, Seder ended. At the end of the Seder, the minhag, I always just need like some fresh air, you know. It's incredible. There's nothing like El Seder. And I take a walk around the block. It's late at night. Just walk. Sometimes listening to Father Siddharma going on to hear the beautiful Nigunim. And I'm walking the first night. It's not a chesdash, it's close to 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm walking with my daughter, Eliora. After this beautiful Lel Seder with Mishpacha, it was amazing. And I look at her and I say, what a schus to be a Yid. Could you imagine, by the Umas HaOlam, they don't have a Lel Seder? It's enough of a reason, the schus to be a Yid, to be Yisrael, just to have a Lel Seder. Have a Lel Seder. What an incredible schus it is, but we have to lift ourselves to that and feel that schus. The next night, it was after 2 o'clock, 2:15, I'm looking around at the table, and my whole family, all my kids, they're singing so beautifully. Niritza, all the different songs, Hallel. I'm like, this is crazy. It's not normal. There's not Adam. By Adam, they might sing. Adam might sing and have a good time. Don't get me wrong. But you don't sing and have a good time 2 o'clock in the morning at your meal. After the first two, three hours, all you did was eat some matzah, myrrh. That's Yisroel. That Yisroel, the Hecher Avelt, we're above this world. It's what it is to be a Yid. That Tanufa that we read about today by a Mitzora that lifts themselves out. And that's the Tanufa we're going to do, Lel Shavuos. The Tanufa of the Sheilechem. The Tanufa's Gematria Yisroel. To be above it. To be above that which holds us down in this world and know that I am and believe that we are. In every single way. So, Mirat Hashem, the counting of Svira. Hallelujah, we should continue to count and continue to get excited for Kabbalah Satorah, another Kabbalah Satorah, to relive Kabbalah Satorah. Yontiv. A Yontiv is not just a celebration of the past, just like we just went through Pesach and relived Yetzias Mitzrayim and Cheras. Kabbalah Satorah is to relive standing by our Sinai and the revelation of Hashem at our Sinai and receiving the Torah and mechazik, our connection to Torah. But during these days, Svira, not just to count. But each time we count, it should be a trigger, a reminder that I'm growing, I'm working on myself. And in what way specifically, maybe, to make sure that I'm living above this world. I'm a Yid, I'm proud. First step is realizing I'm not part of the Ummah Solam. I'm different, I'm above, I'm Yisrael. I'm above it, therefore I'm going to act in a different way. I'm going to hold myself to a different standard. I'm going to live in that way and feel so good about that in the most beautiful ways. Until we're zeichet, the whole world will see it and know. B'yaz Mashiach, B'lashleva, B'mheira, B'meinu, B'etz Hashem, B'etz Baruch.